5 knots in the afternoon. And the wind waves will be less than 2 feet. West swell 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds with patchy fog. Tonight, southwest winds 5 to 10 knots in the evening, becoming light, and wind waves will be less than 2 feet. A west swell of 2 to 3 feet at 9 seconds. Sunday, we've got east winds 5 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. The wind waves will be less than 2 feet with a west swell of 2 to 3 feet at 8 seconds. As far as current temperatures goes, I've got Monterey at 58. I've also got Salinas at 60 degrees. And in Watsonville, it's 58. We're at 59 degrees here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. For your King of the Hill traffic update, I've some quite a few things to report here. Let's see. It looks like there was a... lane number 2 on northbound 1 at Soquel Drive is shut down. I believe they're doing some tree trimming around there. So northbound 1 is kind of backed up right now. Also, there is a report of a traffic collision on northbound 1 at Soquel Drive. Looks like two vehicles were involved and some of the roadway is blocked there. So that may be the... I don't know. Let's see. Anyway, so tricky stuff going on northbound 1. Let's see. Anything else to report? Nothing major. There was a quite a bit of rain and stuff on Highway 17 earlier, and there was an accident there. So I'm not sure if that's cleared up, but the traffic's already starting to back up. So plan ahead for the drive. And you can call me at 475-1080 if you have anything to report as far as the King of the Hill traffic report goes. We got official time at 10:07 and 48 seconds on this Saturday, August 20th. Up next, the Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Hey, Nikki, how you doing?
Hey, how are you? I can see you even better now.
I'm gonna redeem myself today at the very beginning of the program.
Redeem yourself.
I'm gonna redeem myself. Yeah, okay. A big faux pas from last year, week.
Last year, it seems like last year.
Lots happened in the last week, huh? Last week was a K day, and I didn't even inform anybody until almost the beginning of the second hour.
Yeah, she was not happy.
And so because she came all the way down here to sign books and stuff, and people wanted to come by and say hello to her. And so we have another K day. I'm not going to forget.
It's
this
K day.
I'm not going to forget.
You won't get cussed out. That's good. That was probably my favorite part, by the way.
So anyhow, yeah. If you want to come on down, meet Kay, pick up a bumper sticker. We got great KSCO bumper stickers. They're very tasteful. Yeah. So you don't have to buy a book, but if you want to come and get a bumper sticker, something we should have been doing for the last 20 and a half years, but better get wise late than never, right? So anyhow, come on down to 2300 Portola Drive. It's a perfect time to purchase Kay's book for KSCO, I'm Kay Zwirling, a book of her commentaries for the last umpteen years that people have been requesting for a long time. It's a great book, makes a great gift and so forth. Just come on down, say hello, and pick up a bumper sticker and a book while you're here, or one or the other. So let's see, brand new studio still. I've been here once before 2 weeks ago, and so if I'm a little rusty, I'm going to apologize ahead of time, but let's try.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Hey, good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, KSCO.com land. It's MZ welcoming you to an unusual Saturday special. I think we're going to get participation from a much wider area than we normally do, because what we're going to bring to your ears is it's a pretty outrageous story here about what's going on. So stay with us for the next 2 hours. I think you'll be happy you did.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
At
Attention surfers and anyone who knows a surfer. KSCO has learned about an outrageous situation whereby yet another arrogant, unaccountable, and out-of-control government agency is doing idiotic things that not only imperil lives of the entire surfing community, but is accused of using fine money for cars, yachts, bonuses, and internet trips for its prosecutors, officials, and employees. Last March, local surfers Scott Jarrett and Jeff Martin received a citation for $500 from the NOAA, or National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, for operating a jet ski in an area where jet skis have not been approved to operate. Never mind that the jet ski was there for surfer safety and rescue reasons, and never mind that the next day a surfer tragically died because there was no jet ski allowed to come to his rescue. Now, because they dared to challenge the NOAA citation and protest being prohibited from saving lives, they are facing a fine as much as $140,000. Hear all about it on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on KSCO Supports Surfer Safety, Condemns Government Idiocy, and It's Time to Do Something About This Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
I want to welcome surfers Scott Jarrett and Vince Broglio to KSCO Studios. Welcome, Scott and Vince.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good. Good. Thank you.
Little better as time goes on and more people find out about what a lot of people should have been hearing about for months already. And apparently there's some reluctance on the part of many news organizations to pick this up.
And it's not our story necessarily that... That is the big story. The big story is what they've been doing on the East Coast to our fishermen and people in the fishing industry. But, what's happening with us and what's happening with them kind of tie together. You know, they kind of go hand in hand as far as how their law enforcement treats us and how their court system treats us and how they actually, they just trample on all of us with their own agenda, and they really,
Okay, now how many they's are there? We talked in the promo about an agency called NOAA.
Yeah, it's NOAA.
Okay. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Agency?
Administration,
okay. Yes. And so do you have to worry about them and others as well, or just them? I mean, not that that isn't enough.
Actually, under them, they have the Coast Guard. They actually have the fish and game. They all kind of, are operated out of the same, they're all under kind of the same roof, I guess you could say.
Because I always thought that, like, the Department of Fish and Game is what goes around and gives tickets, for things, like citations for...
Yeah, and actually there is the Fish and Game, but there is NOAA has their own law enforcement also.
And Fish and Game, I guess, is a state agency rather than a national one, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've been playing this promo for about the last 24 hours or so, or thereabouts, and that pretty much gives the story about what happened. But let's start at the very beginning. First of all, you're not a surf bum.
No.
You're a pretty substantial person. It's amazing how many really substantial people there are that to whom surfing is a very important part of their life. And I guess you've been doing it for a long time, right? Did you grow up here?
I was born in San Jose, but I lived most of my life over here. I've lived over here for over 25 years. So, I've surfed for 30 of those years. I've been using a jet ski as a personal, a personal safety device, for over a decade. So,
A jet ski is sort of like a ski mobile, except that it goes on the water.
Absolutely,
pretty much, right?
Pretty much.
Okay, when you say you've been using it yourself, sort of as a surfer buddies take turns riding a jet ski just for safety.
Yeah, really, when the waves get big, and it's only a few months of the year, usually November through March, is when the big swells come through Santa Cruz. Yeah, it's really about the buddy system. You have yourself and your partner, and when your partner's surfing, you're lifeguarding him, and when your partner's surfing, or when you're surfing, your partner is lifeguarding you. And it's really it's all about being safe. And
so how could anybody, any government agency or otherwise, object to that? Maybe could it be that is it one jet ski per buddy? Maybe that's the problem. Maybe you have a lot of jet skis out there if everybody.
No, you know, that's the whole thing, and that's one of the things that the administration, NOAA, was trying to claim. And it's really it's a very small group of guys who do this. It's not for everybody. I don't recommend you just go out and buy a jet ski.
There are very few people who surf big waves
in
the first place, right? So
absolutely. And you know, it's this, the way that NOAA portrays it is they make it sound like, you know, everybody and their mom and dad are going to go buy a jet ski and, you know, go hit up their local surf spot and, you know, be out there running amok all the time. And that's all fairy tales. It's just, that's not what really happens.
Okay, so you own a jet ski yourself.
Yes.
Okay, and how many times do you use it?
Just depends. It's really it depends on.
But many more times than not, you don't use it. Is that a correct statement?
Oh yeah, most. I mean, seriously, it's maybe 3 months out of the year. It's we have the opportunities to actually utilize this tool. You know, the rest of the months, the waves just aren't big enough to use it. I mean, you know, when it's small, you don't need a.
Yeah, Vince wants to chime in.
I would
in
say
here. Yeah.
On average, you're talking about anywhere from like 10 to 20 times a year, the ski's gonna put out in the water.
Okay. All right. So what's the objection in the first place? How long has this rule been in effect, or don't you know? I mean,
they actually started this in the 90s. I believe it was like 1992. They started trying to ban jet skis and. Part of the reason why they actually went after them is people were using jet skis for a totally different reason. They were used more as a thrill craft. I mean, I remember being a kid out in, you know, a local break here in town and having some guy in a stand-up jet ski come through the lineup and start jumping waves right next to you. And, you know, that's pretty aggravating. That's not what we do. And that's what really, I think, kind of got the ball rolling for them to start looking at this. And what they failed to do is actually recognize what we use the jet skis for. We use the jet skis for exactly the same situations as the state lifeguards. Any kind of swift water rescue personnel, they use jet skis. These are the ultimate tools for being out in large, fast-moving water.
Okay. Now, I remember, like at Lake Tahoe, for example, where people got upset. You know, residents and beachgoers and so forth got upset because these things jet skis make a lot of noise.
They used to.
They don't use too much anymore. Okay, so they have ones now that don't a lot of noise.
Yeah, the four stroke.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Back in the days, they were two stroke engines. They, you know, you had to put in the gas oil mix and they spewed a lot of smoke and made a lot of noise. And those aren't the same machines that we operate on.
Okay, good. So what you're looking for is. Obviously, you've chosen to contest your citation, your $500 citation, with the full understanding that you could, by doing so, end up with a $140,000 fine. Has that ever happened to anybody?
Oh, yeah. On the East Coast, it's happened not for surfing, but for fishing fines. This is with the piece of paper that they handed to us with the ticket, and that was actually what kind of sparked this whole thing. You know, it wasn't the ticket itself, it was the piece of paper that they actually handed to us, which just set me off. It was the piece of paper virtually says that, you know, this $500 fine is a gift, and if
you're lucky, it's only $500.
Yeah, you're lucky, it's only $500, and if you elect to fight this, it could be $140,000. Well, this is what they've been doing to the fishermen on the East Coast, time after time. Regardless of if you're innocent or guilty, this piece of paper truly is un-American. I mean, can you imagine if you got pulled over for a speeding ticket and you got your, you know, $250 fine and the cop said, oh, by the way, if you try to prove that you're innocent, it's going to be $140,000. I mean, isn't that just outrageous?
Yeah, it is. I mean, so how do they get away with it? I mean, it's just they're above the law. They have their own set of laws that they make.
They have
their
own
unaccountable.
They have their own set of laws. In fact, it goes far beyond that. They not only do they have their own law enforcement, not only do they make their own laws, but they have their own judges. They have their own attorneys, and. Really, what it comes down
now,
to.
Now, how do you know this? Because you've been through this already? I mean,
no, because once we got this.
You're waiting.
Once we got this ticket, we actually started doing some real research and reaching out to some people. And once people started hearing what had happened to us, I've been contacted by quite a few people and been very fortunate to have some very knowledgeable people that have some positions that. That are helping us, and I won't say who these people are or what they do. No, it's not a secret. I just don't want to jeopardize. I mean, NOAA is the kind of group that if anybody that holds a government seat is found, helping anybody, they will go after their job. They will find a way to get this person, these people fired or removed or what have you. That's just the kind of agency they are.
Really, really vindictive.
Yeah. I mean, on the East Coast, like I said, these poor fishermen have been dealing with them for a decade.
So let me get this straight. First of all, you're an independent businessman. You don't have a job that you have to be afraid that you're afraid of being fired from.
No.
So if you were employed by someone, are you serious? You'd have to think twice about doing what you're doing?
Me? No, I still
not do. Not you. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the people that I don't want to jeopardize are the people that have some government jobs that are giving us some information.
I gotcha. Okay.
And the only reason these people have reached out, honestly, is because they've seen what's happened to us. They've been involved with this from the beginning. They've seen how NOAA has been prejudiced against us. How they've just come in and heavy-handedly just. Taken this very small group of guys, and really what they did is they kind of said, hey, come here, we want to talk to you and try to make some things good. And then what they do is they actually, because they want to appear like they're doing warm and fuzzy things and trying to work with the community, but they really have an agenda, and that agenda is to completely shut you out of the Monterey Bay. And they've done this to several groups. Wait a minute.
Shut you out of you, the surfers?
Well, us understand. On PWCs, but yeah, they're actually working on a lot of things.
What's PWC?
Personal watercraft.
Okay.
It's a jet ski, but, jet skis have the negative image of, some guy standing up on a single thing doing crazy, tricks and backflips, and that's...
Okay, and that's illegal and should be, right?
No, it's not illegal. If you're out doing it in the proper spot, you could do anything you want, I guess. But that's
the first spot is we have a Monterey Bay Marine Sanctuary.
They have a zone outside of Moss Landing, Santa Cruz Harbor, and Monterey Harbor.
Yeah, they're just a little square out in the about a mile out or so that you can go in and putt around in a circle.
Oh.
And you can go out there and do whatever you want, which is actually kind of amazing within itself because when there's big waves, these zones are actually where all the animals are.
Uh-huh.
When the waves get big, they're looking to go outside where the water's calm and
sure.
and mellow, and that's where they are. Not only am I a surfer, but I also am a sailor, so I go out. I have my boat at Moss Landing, and I go out, all year long. I'm out sailing if I'm not surfing.
Uh-huh.
And, I go through these zones that they've made for us, and I take pictures of, sea otters and seals and dolphins and birds and, everything that's trying to escape the big surf are out in these zones. But it's okay to go out in that zone on your PWC and do whatever you want, which is just amazing to me because...
So what should be controlled isn't. And what shouldn't be is.
Yeah, basically. I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
All right, so what do you hope will happen? Besides, getting the citation and deciding that you were going to fight it because it's unjust and particularly you didn't like the attitude, you better watch out or, you're lucky we're only fining you this much. What has happened to you? I mean, because the citation took place in March of this year, 6 months ago? And what has happened since then? And you keep uncovering things that just
Well,
you want to let people know about. But what do you hope will happen? You want to?
Well, what I hope that'll happen is that we'll just wash their hands of this and let somebody with some knowledge and I guess some foresight into what's going on. NOAA really is, they have no clue of what they're doing when it comes to this. They have nobody with any kind of expertise that, you know, that deals with surfing, water rescue, anything like that. And they're making policies and procedures for something that they absolutely have no idea of the mechanics of how any of this works.
It's an unaccountable government. It's a government agency, right? It's not a quasi-government agency. It's a government agency.
It's a government agency, but they act like a quasi-government agency. I mean, they do what they want, when they want, to who they want, and apparently go unchecked. And then when they're found, when actually Congress has been investigating them for their law enforcement abuses, and actually the way that the people go through their court and are found guilty before they even set foot in court, the government is actually investigating them. But the weird thing is that even when they get investigated and are found of wrongdoing, these people are just reassigned. They're not fired. They're reassigned. Or like the guy who was in control of this agency, the actual top dog of this agency, he stepped down, and the Obama administration just made him the ambassador to China. Gary Locke is the new ambassador to China.
To get a better job?
He stepped down because he was being investigated. And
And that stopped the investigation, I guess. Is that because
he shouldn't have? I don't know. Actually, there's a lot of people on the East Coast with a lot better knowledge. And I mean,
maybe some of them will call in today.
I sure hope so, because I'd like to have some of these people actually tell their story of what they've been enduring for decades. Not just, I mean, for me, it's only been a few months, but these poor guys on the East Coast have been taking the brunt of the abuse for decades now.
We would like to open the phone lines, actually, and invite people to comment or ask questions that I'm not asking. Maybe I'm missing something here. It's your favorite radio station, the Saturday Special on AM 1080 KSCO. Phone number to call in if you would like to participate in this Saturday Special is area code 831-713-4277. We're still operating on this phone number for a little while longer here. We have a brand new studio here, and we're switching over a little by little. We hope to get our old 479-1080 phone number back here one of these days soon. But we're still operating on area 831-713-4277. And we invite you to call and ask questions or make a comment on this topic today, which is government agency out of control. And we did a program Saturday Special a number of months back about the California Coastal Commission, another agency that is without any kind of accountability and so forth. And it's mind-boggling how there are certain agencies that I don't know what else to say except it's out of control and outrageous. So give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. Again, area 831-713-4277. It's 10:30, and if you want to come on down to KSCO and get a book, meet Kay Zwirling here. Today's a good day to do it. We're at 2300 Portola Drive, we're going to take a commercial break. Right now, Nikki, the pilot in command, is going to take control back, and we will be back in just a few minutes. Stay with us, please.
This is your town. You know it well. Or do you? Just inside your town is another town. A living social town. Cooler, hipper, and surprisingly affordable. Think zipline tours at 54% off. Belly dancing, 60% off. Eating, drinking, rafting, romantic getaways with wine and massages. It's not exactly a parallel universe, but it's a whole new town. So sign up for free at livingsocial.com right now and start saving at least 50%.
It happens soon after Labor Day, the Santa Cruz County Fair. And this year, there are some very entertaining reasons to buy discount admission tickets.
Happy together.
The Turtles. Peter Rivera. Sarah, formerly of Rare Earth.
Love Don't Run.
And Steve Poley. Discount tickets are available online at SantaCruzCountyFair.com and the Fairground office on Highway 152 between Hecker Pass and the Bay.
The Santa Cruz County Fair.
Have you ever walked on a rainbow? Have you ever had your dreams come true?
You'd never believe who sells the most hardwood floors on the Central Coast. It's Rainbow Carpet One. They've got the lowest prices, expert hardwood installers, and the most amazing selection of hardwood floors anywhere. Oaks and maples, hand-scraped floors, European parquets, eco-friendly floors, exotic species, sustainable cork, and bamboo. They'll even refinish your old hardwood floors and make them beautiful, too. Plus, you can always get free financing for 1 year and free in-home estimates at Rainbow Carpet One. Nobody beats the nationwide buying power of Carpet One. Lower prices than the big box stores with 10 times the selection. Visit Rainbow Carpet One in Santa Cruz, Watsonville, and Gilroy, or shop online at rainbowcarpetone.com.
At Rainbow Carpet,
you can walk on a rainbow.
At Rainbow Carpet,
so many colors to choose from.
At Rainbow. Hi, I'm Andy, the produce manager at Benelman Market. This week we are featuring three local grown produce items. From Davenport, Brussels sprouts, $1.99 a pound. From Morgan Hill, sweet, tender white corn in husk, $4 for $1. And from Watsonville, Mamacaro tomatoes, $1.99 a pound. If you have never tried a Mamacaro tomato, you are missing out on one of the greatest eating tomatoes. All these items are picked fresh and delivered to our stores on the same day. Hats off to all our local farmers. In organics, we are featuring local grown in Watsonville broccoli, 99 cents a pound, and Italian squash, 99 cents a pound. We also have California organic cantaloupes, 66 cents a pound, and California organic mini watermelons, 88 cents a pound. So come check out our great selection of fresh produce at Ben Lomond Market and Scotts Valley Markets.
Hi, I'm Pamela Fugit-Hetrick. Each Thursday night, 7 to 8 p.m., I host a show called Money Moves. The goal of my show is to inspire and empower listeners to achieve their own financial security and independence. Now, emotionally, some people actually fight prosperity, believing that money is the root of all evil. Money itself isn't good or evil, but it can be used for both. CAFA is using their money to greedily obtain more money by putting out our Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds. If they succeed, our full community loses our best emergency location center and one of the places for large special events in the county. I'm a second-generation Watsonville native. I grew up and still live close to the fairgrounds. I went to college and made money raising 4-H livestock and was even on the junior fair board back before I want to remember. Now, like the scene in the movie Network, I'm mad as hell and I don't want to take it anymore. Join me and go on KSCO.com and click on the button to volunteer to fight CAFA's takeover of our precious independent county fairgrounds.
Don't miss the next exciting Viva Gardens, Sundays at 9 on KSCO.
This is Viva Gardens, your local gardening and outdoor living radio show with Katya, Alex, and Nikki from Nature Elements Landscapes. We specialize in design, construction, and maintenance for your garden. And we have a great show. We're going to talk about
food.
Even
Rufino is excited.
Yep, and then we'll have useless information, obviously. And then we'll have
trivia.
Don't miss Viva Jardines every Sunday at 9 a.m. KSCO, Santa Cruz.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me.
Okay, welcome back to hour number one of the Saturday special. We're talking about surfing today, but not just surfing. We're talking about making surfing safe and how one particular government agency doesn't seem to want that. It's just standing in the way of that. Phone number is area 831-713-4277. We have three callers on the line waiting to go on hold, go on the air with us right now. And we invite all of you to go. There are apparently a lot of people listening to us on KSCO.com. Around the country here, and And you're certainly invited to participate. You'll have to punch in the area code. Local people won't have to do that. But let's go to our first caller right now, and that will be Don in Shingle Springs. Don, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hey, morning, guys. How you doing?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I just wanted to approach this from the rescue effort at Mavericks. I've been shooting out there for...
You're a photographer, I guess, huh?
I am a photographer. I work from the cliff angle.
Okay.
And I'm involved with the rescue effort out there.
When you say Mavericks Beach, you're talking about that's in the Half Moon Bay area, for those of you who are not familiar with surf. It's a very, very famous, world-class surfing a venue, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's at the north end of Half Moon Bay, located right off of Pillar Point there.
Uh-huh.
And the break is so far out that most of the photographers have been covering Mavericks from the water angle. And there are a few that cover it from the cliff angle, which is where I'm at. And ever since the death of Mark Fu in December of 94, we saw the need for a rescue team to be in place anytime the waves were big out there. And so we put together a volunteer rescue team made up of the photographers who are there already anyway, documenting what's going on. I work from the cliff angle with a radio. I'm in constant contact with the PWCs on the water. And I call out the sets on the outside. I give them directions to guys on the inside who have wiped out. And ever since the death of Mark Fu, this team has been in place. But NOAA was not informed of this. They had no idea when this all started that there was a rescue team working out there saving lives. Since Mark Fu's death, before this ban went into effect, there wasn't any other deaths out there at all. After this ban went into effect, we've had two.
So, yeah. So, not a good situation.
Not a good situation at all.
Okay, Don, thank you for your call.
Yeah, wait, I have one quick question for Don.
Okay.
Don, this is Vince Broglio.
Hey, Vince.
Hi. There's a lot of complaints that NOAA gets about the jet skis and sea otters up at Mavericks and Ross's Cove. Have you ever seen otters at Ross's Cove or the otters inside the lagoon there?
You know, in my two decades now of covering Mavericks, I have never seen any otters out there at all, or sea lions around the break at all, none whatsoever. You know, only human beings are dumb enough to be in the impact zone of waves that register on the Richter scale when they break. So the sea life simply isn't there.
Yeah, they're smart.
It's a fallacy. It's a lie. And, you know, it's just another arrow in your quiver against the PWCs.
It's a lie that they love to use against us because
exactly. Every
time it's their canned response. Ever since we've gotten this ticket and every time we talk to somebody in the media and NOAA has the rebuttal, it's the same canned response. Oh, they're out to do this and they're out to save that. And, you know, they bring up that there's documented cases of people running over otters with PWCs, but there isn't. There's one documented case from 1990 of someone that might have hit an otter and was fined, and the story, I actually have the story in front of me, and it says that the otter lived and recovered from whatever its trauma. So that if you could use one incident from 1990 to use against us for now going on two decades, actually probably going on a little longer, I mean, it's one incident that they keep using to shut us down.
Exactly. Come on.
And they're supposed to use overwhelming science to actually be able to keep people from doing stuff.
Sure. All right. Well, I want to thank Don for his call. We're going to go on to our next caller, which is Sandy in Florida. Wait a second here. I think I've hit the wrong person. Now, Sandy, are you there, Sandy? You're on the air, I think.
Hi. Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Good. Hi there.
I just wanted to touch base because it's going on everywhere. It's not just northeast, out west. It's going on down here, too. My husband was recently convicted for he was boarded by FWC, authorized by NOAA, And they said he had 72 short fish. When the boat came in, they remeasured. Now, I understand the FWC officer unloaded.
SWC. When you use... Hello, wait a second. When you use acronyms like that, it just confuses our audience. This is a general purpose audience. So what does SWC mean?
That's Florida Wildlife Conservation.
Oh, FWC.
Wildlife agency. They normally do Bay and Inlet. But
okay.
They can be deputized by NOAA.
Okay.
And his boat was boarded 4 years ago. An FWC agent unloaded 1,700 pounds of fish on the deck of his boat in August, 93 degrees, and determined 72 were short. Not 12, 13 inches. They're supposed to be 20. These fish were like a quarter of an inch, a half inch. And then on ice, we do know things shrink. So they told him to come in. He's done fishing. He fished two more days, came in. We had three Coast Guard, four NOAA agents, and three FWC agents with guns in the fish house to measure these fish. They deemed 69 were short, but the numbers weren't matching up because they weren't exactly the same. Now, these are like 19 and three quarters instead of a 19 and five eighths. So, lo and behold, he gives us a NOVA citation.
What's NOVA?
But it's a notice of violation. You're going to be assessed a fine.
Okay.
Pursuant to like the Magnuson-Stevenson Act, which we thought it was civil. We don't hear anything for 3 years, and we find out there's a grand jury indictment that says he threw the fish, had a crew member throw the fish overboard, and replaced them with other fish. I can't make this up.
Yeah.
3 years later, I have five officers at my door in bulletproof vests looking for him. Freak me out. We just went through trial. Their position is, those aren't the same fish. Now, you took 69. They said there's 72. One guy on the boat said, there's only three people on this boat. He said, a lot of them, you know, 8 to 10 of them had turned brown gills, bellied up. I kicked them over. But so for three fish, we had a grand jury indictment. We had a trial. It found him guilty of destruction of evidence before search and seizure and obstruction of justice, but found him not guilty of lying to an officer when he told him they were the same fish. So now he's going to be sentenced in November for three missing fish. And this is, was there the night the boat docked. He measured two of the fish and it came up, they were 20 inches.
Okay.
So,
you know, I'd hate to do this, but we really have to keep, I can just feel people turning off now because, you know, this is very, very important to you, Sandy, for sure. Right. But, you know, people are just getting, the point is that there's a lot of abuse going on and you've shared a horror story. I want to ask everybody else who has a horror story to share, to try to share it in a minute or less. Okay. Because otherwise we're going to lose all our audience. We don't want to do that. Okay. So thank you very much, Sandy. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Sandy.
You take care. Here's, Boarhead somewhere in the East Coast. Welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special. You're on the air.
Good morning, guys.
Hi. Morning.
Morning.
What would you like to talk about first? There's a bunch of issues.
Okay. Cut to the chase, okay? Because things that happen, you know, I got into this business by being frustrated about the abusive planning department here in the county and cities of Santa Cruz. In 1988, we did a talk show to reform the planning departments. And, you know, it was cathartic for the people to call in, you know, and share their horror stories about what had happened to them personally. It's sort of hard to cut to the chase, but that's what we'd like to do here. So whatever you want to share with us, Boarhead.
Boarhead 007.
Okay. If you can do it, just as concisely as possible, that'll be great. We'll keep the program fast moving, and we can garner, you know, a lot of support, I think, for what you guys want to achieve. And that is basically to shine the light on an abusive organization,
absolutely,
an abusive a government agency, right? Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, let's start with the chain of command of the U.S. Commerce Department.
Okay.
And U.S. Commerce oversees NOAA. NOAA oversees National Marine Fisheries Service. They are the police force of the Magnuson-Stevens Act. Gary Locke was the Secretary of Commerce. And Gary Locke just issued a public apology for the abuses towards some of the victims of a very robust law enforcement system.
When you say just, when was that?
Probably a couple of months ago.
Okay.
Yep.
Just apology for the law enforcement abuse?
It's the first time a government agency has apologized to any victims that I know of. And operations being paid.
Oh, wow.
You know, this one fellow, it cost him everything he had to, buck the system, as it were.
Uh-huh.
And that case is an amazing case, Larry Yacoubian's story. And not to mention the Gloucester Seafood Display Auction, which that's another interesting story. It's all very amazing. But the crux of the matter is, it's so multifaceted, from law enforcement to policy, and who is financing policy, who's involved. Like, this administration is full of EDF people, the Environmental Defense Fund. They have instituted the catch share plan, which is more or less like cap and trade, only it's catch and trade. And they want to commodify the industry. And what it's doing is running out the small, regular mom-and-pop operations in favor of the large commercial organizations. And it pretty much is trying to turn, it looks just like the family farm issue 20 years ago, where Big Ag has taken over the farming industry and eliminated a lot of the family farms. This is well financed through a lot of the bigger corporations in America, Walmart being one of them. A lot of foundations that finance this stuff. And it's surreal. It's very infatuation.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks very much for calling the Saturday special, Warhead. You take care.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Area 831-713-4277 is the phone number to call if you want to participate in the Saturday special today. We've got Craig up next. Craig is from Boulder Creek in California here. Craig, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, it has to do with people who are best qualified is semi-ignorant of the jobs that they are holding and think they're gods and goddesses because of how grossly overpaid they are and how ignorant they are of the way things actually go. And it's just part of the bureaucratic mafia. These are a lot of political appointees and things, and they just have more power than they're capable of handling.
Yeah, I wish these people were elected officials so we can get them out. They get in there and they dig in and make it a career of ruining people's lives.
They're like appointed, and they sometimes there forever.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're there forever. And if you even when you're found of wrongdoing, you get to just move to a different seat.
These groups are as bad as Santa Cruz Planning Commission and the California Airhead Retarded Bureaucrat Group. That's CARB. If you're not familiar,
was that a nice thing to say? California, what retarded bureau? What did you say?
California Airhead Retarded Bureaucrats.
But what does it really mean?
It's supposed to be the California Air Resources Board.
Oh, okay.
But the people there don't know very much about anything. They have a lot of stuff backwards, but they were political appointees. And they come down 100,000 plus a year, and they think they are really super intelligent and know everything.
Well, anyhow, you're right. So what should be done?
You guys should get some investigations into how these people get their jobs and keep all the political influence out of it. These should be jobs where they are put on merit. They know the actual system. They know how things are. They know about fishing. They know about the air, or they know about other things, actually, and not they just got there because they have somebody in government with their political campaigns.
Right. Okay. Hey, thanks very much for calling, Craig.
Thanks for the call.
We do appreciate it. 713-4277, area 831 is the number to call if you want to go on the air with us here on the Saturday special. Sure. And we have Scott Jarrett and Vince Broglio here in the studio with us. I'm MZ. And let's see, we do have a couple of other callers here. There's John in Riverside. Let's take John's call. Then we're going to read a NOAA story from Steve Danger here. So stand by here. John in Riverside, I think you are on the air. John.
Great. Thanks. Good to talk to you. Scott and Vince, you guys are doing good work up there and hang in there and keep up the good fight. I would like to make a couple of observations that relative to the particular process up there in Monterey and Gulf of Farallones Marine Sanctuaries. Number one, when these regulations regarding the personal watercraft, the jet skis, were first enacted back in 92, I think it was, and there was the story that was previously related about the jet ski chasing the sea otter. NOAA investigated that accident, that alleged, for 18 months before they brought the conviction, sort of like that ladies fishing story from Florida. And can you imagine the use of public resources to chase down some jet skier because he was allegedly harassing a sea otter, and we spent thousands and thousands of taxpayer dollars doing that. And that incident would already have been protected by the Marine Mammal Protection Act and the Endangered Species Act. So there was no reason to enact special prohibitive legislation or regulations about personal watercraft. But moving more current, the previous manager of the Monterey Bay Marine Sanctuary, a guy by the name of Bill Duros, was promoted to be the Western Region Manager for NOAA Sanctuaries, which was pretty much all the Pacific Coast sanctuaries. And when I had an interview with his boss in Washington about why have they singled out personal watercraft for all these restrictions, he said, well, you know, those guys on the West Coast, they just sort of have their own process that they go through, and we don't dictate every step that they take. They sort of make their own rules. Well, now Mr. Duros is the deputy director of the Sanctuaries and Preserves Unit, and reporting to the guy who said, well, you know, those guys out in the West kind of do their own thing, and we don't control everything they do. Now he's the deputy director to that guy. So when you ask NOAA a question, you don't get truthful answers. You get answers that they would like to see in print, possibly. The second thing is, when after the recent incident with Jacob Trete, who had the near-death accident and then the unfortunate fatality with the surfer from Hawaii that came over to Mavericks, just this past year, NOAA has issued two public statements about it, and if you read through the public statements, they sound very much like they were written by lawyers. They weren't written by people who are involved in public safety, and they weren't written by people who had much concern for human life or the safety of surfers out there. And I believe those statements were written in advance of the next incident that happens, so NOAA could have some deniability of responsibility for any potential litigation that they might face for failure to enact proper and reasonable safety standards for
diabolical
surfers. Those are the kind of things that NOAA does. And I think if you look at the galaxy, the comments you've already had today, people point at NOAA as uncaring. They have their own agenda, and people are not, human beings, American taxpayers, are not part of that agenda.
Exactly. You couldn't have said it better.
Hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, you pretty much nailed it right there.
Okay, nailing John in Riverside. Thanks very much for calling the Saturday special.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, it's 5 minutes before 11. If you want to give us a call, 713-4277 in area 831. Next caller is Richard N. Watsonville. Richard, you're on the air.
Thank you, Michael.
I don't really see any difference between this NOAA, N-O-A-A, I guess, and the Surfrider Foundation and Save Our Shores.
Yeah, they're pretty much
the
same.
It's all different levels of bureaucracy, huh?
Yeah, I think they're...
Wait a minute, Surfrider Foundation... I should know this. Surfrider Foundation is a bureaucracy?
Oh, yeah. They're overtaken by environmentalists
that
want to shut everybody out of every place.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It originally started as...
I haven't paid attention, so I wouldn't know that, I guess, but...
Yeah.
To me, I mean, the name just sounds wonderful.
And yeah,
the other day we
bad guys.
Yeah.
The other day we did a report on KSCO.
Uh-huh.
One of the news reports that says, Save Our Shores says you cannot swim on the west side of the municipal wharf, and you cannot swim on the east side of the west of the municipal wharf.
You can swim under it, under the pilings? So you can't swim anywhere?
Or out on the end.
Seriously?
I'm serious, man. It's sickening. It's
so they're little Nazis?
It's almost as sickening as these jet skis.
Huh?
Yeah.
These jet skis are sickening.
The jet skis are sickening. Now, wait a minute, Richard.
We're listening to people from the East Coast going through what we already went through, Michael, with the fishing fleet out there. It sounds like they're having one hell of a time, man. But we had one hell of a time here. And now the fishing fleet is gone because we made this place into a national sanctuary.
There is no fishing fleet here anymore. Yeah.
That's right. There is none here. That's why you're talking about the East Coast. And we don't really give a damn about the East Coast. We're sitting here focusing on jet skis, which you guys like to call PWCs, and now for some reason you're calling them jet skis. My answer to it is kayaks, man.
Could I add in one thing with the kayaks?
Yeah, you said the buddy system.
Wait, let me say one thing about the kayaks real quick. There's been over 3,200 reported instances about kayak disturbing the sea otters, and there's been zero about jet skis
disturbing them.
Yeah. So when you're talking about jet skis,
how are you guys comparing jet skis with a motor with something without a motor, and they're disturbing the otters?
Well, because they can go up quietly.
How old are you?
Pardon me?
How old are you?
I'm 51, almost 52.
And the other guy?
I'm 40.
Yeah, well, I'm 59, and I remember when there were no damn otters out here. But I do remember.
Richard,
the
what is the point?
Yeah.
What are we
arguing?
We're out here. The point is that they were always hit by the surfers.
What the? What were?
Now you guys want us to think that the jet skiers are the saviors when I've seen jet skiers out there with photog.
No.
What are you talking about?
They're not saying that at all. They're saying there's a use
out there with photog.
There's a use for jet skiers for jet skis.
Absolutely.
A safe, you know, responsible use. That's all they're saying, Richard. That's all they're saying. Oh, Richard went away. Maybe I didn't mean to. Did you think that's my fault? My ring finger hit a button, and I don't know what button it hit, but all of a sudden Richard was gone. Richard, we didn't hang up on you. But anyhow, 713-4277. We only have a 2 minutes left in this hour, so probably no time for phone callers. But if you want to prepare to call next hour, because we're going to be on right up until noontime, that's the number to call 831-713-4277. I guess that last call left you a little speechless.
I just have no idea where he's going. Nothing made. I mean, he made some good points, and all of a sudden he just went off on a total different direction that had nothing to do with anything that we were really talking about.
Yeah.
Well,
happens from time to time in talk radio, but.
Hey, you know, MZ, I wanted to bring up a couple interesting things. I did this Google search the other morning, and when you put in NOAA discrimination, it pulls up 1,090 websites. When you put in NOAA abuse, it pulls up 1,660,000. When you pull up NOAA civil rights abuses, it pulls up 6,700,000. I mean, that shows me that
this should be much more of a story than on KSCO radio.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so Scott Jarrett and Vince Broglie, there's another hour ahead, so stay with us right here on KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. The cleanup is on in northeastern Wisconsin after severe storms hit last night. One person is confirmed dead.
An apparent tornado hit in Marinette County in the community of Wazika.
One person was killed. He was in a mobile home or a trailer house that collapsed.
Lori Gettner with Wisconsin Emergency Management. Crews are fanning out on the ground now to see if anyone else was hurt. The National Weather Service is working to confirm if what hit was indeed a tornado. That same band of weather is putting the brakes on the Chicago Air and Water Show. That event is expected to draw more than 2 million people, but heavy rain, thunder, and lightning so far today has grounded the show's planes. Four people, two women, and two children, confirmed dead after flash flooding in Pittsburgh. Rescue crews had to use inflatable boats to rescue people caught in the fast rising water after heavy rains overwhelmed the city's drainage system.
The water was rushing so fast it kind of just dragged me right out.
A man in his 80s had to be rescued from the roof of his car. State TV in Iran reporting two American hikers, Shane Bauer and Josh Fada, have been arrested, I should say, have been convicted of convicted to 8 years in prison. For espionage and trespassing, they were arrested more than 2 years ago while hiking along the Iran-Iraq border.
A spokesperson just releasing a statement saying that they are trying to work to confirm these reports about the 8-year sentence, and it has repeatedly called for the release of the two men, adding that Shane and Josh have been imprisoned too long, and it is time to reunite them with their families.
Fox's Julie Banderas reporting. Thousands of striking Verizon workers will go back to work on Tuesday, despite not yet having a contract. Those 45,000 union members have been on strike since August 7th. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Weeknights, Lou Dobbs is back to business. Hard-hitting interviews, sharp market insight, in-depth analysis with a critical eye on events shaping today's most important stories. Weeknights. Dobbs is back to business, going back-to-back with one of the most experienced names in business journalism, Neil Cavuto. Two trusted names, one powerful network. Watch Neil Cavuto at 6 and Lou Dobbs at 7, only on Fox Business Network, giving you the power to prosper.
I was 11 years old at my first national championships. I fell, I don't know how many times.
Michelle Kwan is the most decorated figure skater in U.S. history.
But I had a dream. My dream came true because I dedicated myself.
Dedication made Michelle Kwan a champion.
I was passionate about something and I made sure that I worked hard for it.
And dedication can make your dreams a reality.
Whatever your dream and goals are, they can come true.
Dedication. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
The 9/11 attacks were 10 years ago next month.
From this day forward, our lives would be permanently changed.
Standing in the shadows of where the Twin Towers once stood, reflections of that day, notes left behind from people who lived and worked here, read by strangers.
The passage of 10 years hasn't erased my anger.
A note from a child who wasn't even born then read,
I wish there are no bad people.
Wishes that for now are still just that.
We finally see new life of downtown and in our hearts.
Many other notes left behind here at the Garden of Remembrance overlooking that new life are also hopeful, looking toward the future, but read, we will never forget. In New York, Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio.
A Virginia man suspected the deaths of his wife and her three children has been arrested in South Carolina. The bodies were found in Newport News after a fire was reported in an apartment. The fight over the FAA isn't quite over.
The fight in Congress that partially shut down the Federal Aviation Administration was in part over a Republican demand to cut off subsidies to some rural airports. The standoff ended when the Republican perspective prevailed, but Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood was given the option of waiving the subsidy cut for some airports. Now a group of congressional Republicans have sent LaHood a letter saying he better not do that unless he can provide a, quote, full written justification for any waiver he might issue. There are 13 communities that would be affected by the subsidy cuts, 10 of which are less than 90 miles from a hub airport. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
President Obama is on vacation on Martha's Vineyard, and the president is feeling bookish. The White House says the president bought two books at a bookshop on Friday and brought three others from Washington for his 10-day stay. One of those new books is the Bayou Trilogy, a collection of crime novels by Daniel Woodrell. The other new book is Rodin's Debutante by Ward Just. It's a coming-of-age story set in mid-century Chicago. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Looks like still cloudy and foggy out there, so hopefully it'll clear up eventually this afternoon. High of 67, west-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 53 with southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And on Sunday, we're going to have some morning clouds and fog, then mostly sunny with a high of 70. The west-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, there's some light winds, and they're becoming southwest 5 knots later this afternoon. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet and a west swell of 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds. Tonight, southwest winds 5 to 10 knots in the evening, becoming light, and wind waves will be less than 2 feet, west swell 2 to 3 feet at 9 seconds. And tomorrow, east winds 5 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet with a west swell of 2 to 3 feet at 8 seconds. For current temperatures, I've got Salinas at 60 degrees, in Watsonville, 59, and in Monterey, 59. We are at 62 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. For your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, not a whole lot going on right now, and the fishhooks looks pretty good. Northbound 1 looks like it's getting a little better there. It does say lane number 2 is still shut down at Soquel Drive, northbound 1, but I'm not sure about that. So if anyone else has any updates for me with traffic, you can call me at 475-1080. Official time, 11:07 and 9 seconds on this Saturday, August 20th. Up next, the second hour of the Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
You sure are, Nikki. How does it feel to be Nikki James? Be honest.
Be honest, it feels pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
Somehow that answer didn't surprise me at all.
Well, good.
Okay. All right, we're entering hour number 2 here, and we are going to – I should put the word out that Kay is in the studio here. Not in the studio, but outside in the studio audience room. Okay, so you can come on down to 2300 Portola Drive, pick up a bumper sticker, meet Kay, get a book. They're only $24.95, and when you buy a book, you support the radio station that everybody says they love here, and once if they know about, okay. And that, there's a reason there are no stations like KSCO, except KSCO, and that reason is it does not pay, okay. It does not pay to run a station where you have real people with real heart and real soul and real personality. That is the only station that I am interested in owning and running. Okay? If you can't have a real station with a real heart and a soul and a real personality that really serves its community, and all you're going to have is a station that's a computer in a closet, that's nothing other than a conduit for giant corporations to play their syndicated programs, that's for someone else. It ain't for me. Okay? And I'm told time and time again how by so many people, including people in this room, how lucky we are to have a radio station like KSCO. And when you buy Kay's book, that helps us in ways you have no idea. Plus, it's a great thing to do. It's a great gift. It's a great birthday gift. It's a great holiday gift, and so forth. So come on down, and if you can buy the book online anytime, just going to ksco.com. And it's right there, very prominent on our homepage. You can buy it on PayPal with your PayPal account or with any major credit card and have it shipped to you, or come on down and pick it up. But if you come on down today, you can meet the author herself and talk with her, and she'll personally inscribe it for you. So, okay, back to our program here. Let's officially open hour number 2 with the hour number 2 jingle.
Oh, hello, darling. To hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
I honestly thought this was going to be one of the most lively KSCO Saturday specials we've ever done, because there's a lot to be angry about here.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
But thus far, I have been wrong, and And I want to put out the word here. We're gonna change the tone of the program a little bit here, because you know the pace of the promo that I produced yesterday that talked about this. Okay, that's what I thought. How can you not be very upset when you hear an abusive government agency doing outrageous things to the people that pay their salaries? You know, and you know, the people who have called in during the last hour to share their horror stories, I can understand how they're probably just almost beaten people. You know, they're not talking. They're not fast talkers. They're not angry and passionate, probably because it's like they've had all the air let out of their tires, and they don't have any energy left because they've been brought down by all this abuse. You know, by a government agency that's totally out of control. Anyhow, I would like to use the program to have come up with ideas about how to deal with this situation. Okay, how do you deal with making right an abusive government agency? Is there any way that you can do that? All right. So and our guests are Scott Jarrett and Vince Broglio. And if you want to join us here. Talk fast, though, please. Give us a call at 831 area code 713-4277. We don't want to put people asleep. We want to keep them focused and riveted and motivated to help us do something.
There you go. Hey, a couple of things, just in case you haven't listened to some previous shows that I've been on here, I want to kind of enlighten everybody of what's really been going on. Is what this is really about is this agency who has their own law enforcement, their own lawyers, and their own judges. And you would like to think that, hey, if you did something wrong and you got ticketed, you're going to have your day in court to prove your innocence. And that's really not what happens. You go and you see an administrative judge who is paid for by NOAA, and they have their NOAA lawyers. And you'd think that you'd have a fair shake, but you really don't. I mean, if you think about it, MZ, what if you got a speeding ticket from a police officer and you went to go see the judge, and the judge was paid for by the police department, and the police department showed up with their own lawyers? I mean, does that sound very fair?
No, it's a kangaroo thing.
It's a kangaroo court. It's absolutely, yeah. And it's not even like a real judge. It's an administrative judge. So you don't even, I mean... Not that it's not a real judge, but this is someone that's paid for by NOAA. And what happened on the East Coast, and it's been it's a proven fact, is when they investigated them, they found out that there was internal emails between the lawyer, the law enforcement, and the judge colluding their story. So when they showed up to court, they had already found these fishermen guilty before they even went to court. And it goes even further than that. These people, not only were they found guilty, but then the judge and the lawyer would be paid a bonus out of the asset, the forfeit asset fund, which is where the fine money goes into. So the judge and the lawyer would get paid a bonus for bringing in even more money. So there's an incentive to find them guilty. I mean, how fair is that?
It's not fair.
And
it should not be tolerated. But, you know, it's been pointed out to me that I thought I had redeemed myself, and I did, for one serious negligent act on my part. But I've committed a really bad one this time. Kay's commentary. We have a brand new Kay's commentary. And the format is that we're supposed to go into Kay's new commentary right after the jingle that has that sexy sounding woman saying, "I'm sorry, baby, I gotta go," you know, and so forth. So I hate this. Terrible. This
making
it a disjointed radio program, but there is a brand new Kay's commentary all about the death tax. Okay.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
Those in our midst who spend money very easily, like Barack and Michelle Obama, probably never personally had to earn much money. Our president and his wife were also probably in the position growing up where their families were poor, and they both were bright students who were financially helped up to and through law school. It's a shame and a public waste that neither one of them could practice law today because both had their licenses revoked for shady dealings. Obama got us into the financial mess we're in now because he never had a real job and never really made any significant amount of money. Since he has been in office, our national debt has increased by more than 35%. Frantically looking for new revenue, Obama is now turning to the death tax, which last year was at 0%, where it should have been, because any funds that the American people expect to leave to heirs have already been taxed. So there should be no death tax. On January 1st, 2011, that's this year, Obama raised the death tax to 35%. Mr. President, you know what you're doing is despicable, and you don't care. Unless speedy action is taken by our Congress, that rate is scheduled to explode to a horrific 55% in just over a year from now while Obama is still in office. How do I know this? Because of the citizens group called 60 Plus, who are asking for donations from the public to kill the death tax. They wrote me and others over 60 who expect to leave some inheritance for their heirs, while the 60 group hopes to permanently repeal the death tax. That recently almost happened. However, underhanded procedural maneuvers by ultra-liberal Democrats led by Harry Reid stopped us from gaining total victory in the Senate despite passing repeal of the death tax by a vote of 57 to repeal and 43 to not repeal. But Reid demanded a supermajority of 60 votes for repeal of the death tax, not a simple, fair 51-vote majority. This current law on the books is a ticking time bomb, and the explosion of 55% will be over more than half of all inheritances to our children and grandchildren going to these big government liberal greedy skunks. I say, Mr. President, for allowing and condoning stealing our children's inheritance, you are despicable. Honorably, that should have been the last place for you to look for more money. 60 Plus must now raise $125,000 to try to kill the death tax, and it's unlikely that that will happen. If all else fails during the 2012 presidential election, it's most important for all Americans to go to the polls and vote and remove Obama from office, repeal the death tax, and repeal Obamacare. For KSCO, this is Kay's Whirling.
The long-requested book of Kay's commentaries is now available for purchase online at our KSCO.com website, right on the homepage, for $24.95 plus shipping and handling, if applicable. Treat yourself to this wonderful book full of Kay's wisdom, thoughts, and humor. It makes a great gift. And all proceeds support KSCO, your favorite radio station. Go to KSCO.com and buy Kay's book today.
Yeah, please do that. It really will help, and you get something for it. You get something for your contribution. I just realized our business manager pointed out just in the last couple of days those FCC fees that we have to pay, $8,000 or $9,000 a year just to be a radio station that serves the public are coming up here pretty soon, and I hate doing this, but we're gonna do it like we've done the last two or three years, and people have always our listener, our great KSCO listening audience has stepped up to the plate and helped us along with that. So, but this year we've got Kay's commentary book, and so every time you buy one of those, it helps us pay our FCC fees and helps us keep the great personalities that you know and love here on KSCO able to broadcast to you. We're back with Vince Broglio had to leave, unfortunately. We thank him for being here. So Scott, Jared, and I are going to be doing the program here for the rest of the hour. Got about 40 minutes left. We do have a number of people on hold right now. We're talking about the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and how this is an just a ridiculous, outrageous, abusive government agency that should be eliminated. You agree with that? Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would have never thought that either until I got this ticket and started investigating.
It's a corrupt, rotten, stinking organization that does nothing but make people's lives miserable, and they take the fines and pad their own pockets and go on expensive trips.
Yeah.
You know, and buy expensive things.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't believe this, ladies and gentlemen. And there is nobody. There is nobody above them. They are totally unaccountable. And the interesting thing that Scott was telling me earlier today is that he's trying to get this information out, and to the big news organizations like CNN and Fox and so forth, they won't give him the time of day. They won't give him the time of day.
Or the fishermen on the East Coast that have been taking this abuse. It's amazing.
And you say that's even worse than the surfers out here. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not to be, I don't want to take the spotlight because that's not what I'm here to do. This is really about just the abuses. And the reason why I'm here is because I'm so outraged about what I found out that they're doing on the East Coast and what they were, what they're about to do to us as far as. Run us through their court system and, possibly give us a $140,000 fine for really just using our jet ski as a life-saving device in extremely large surf in the middle of winter when the extreme conditions.
Last hour I said I was going to tell a NOAA story from a gentleman named Steve Danger who's emailed this to mz@ksco.com. It's a comment. I'm not a surfer. I'm a fisherman from New Bedford. These surfers have got some facts wrong, but the main gist of their story is right. We've had years of problems with NOAA law enforcement. They actually created a secret fund with our fine monies and bought cars, yachts, and trips to Thailand for the NOAA law enforcement agents and the administrative law judges who convicted us. These surfers don't have a chance if this system stays as it is. Luckily, people like Senators Kerry and Snow and Barney Frank are now after Noah.
Oh, really? Yeah, they're investigating him, and that's actually a whole another story about as soon as Noah found out that they were being investigated, they went on a document shredding party because they've known that they've been doing some abuse for so long they had to get rid of as much as they could.
Well, Steve Danger from New Bedford says good luck to these surfers. And if you want to join
the conversation.
Thank you, Mr. Danger. If you want to join the conversation, you can do it by calling us at area 831-713-4277. If you want to email, use my email address, mz@ksco.com, mz@ksco.com. Let's see. Here's something here from White Paper here. Saturday, your guest began by saying NOAA has an agenda. I think surfer victims are ignorant. The government is not stupid. They are not making a mistake. This is deliberate. Their internal papers say so. This is just one area where the, quote, international community, unquote, is creating a feudal new world order. NOAA says they are under Agenda 21. Every person on Earth, every human action, every level, demand, require. These are all in quotes. This is a real long... it's not terribly long. I'm going to go ahead and finish reading this. In 1992, governments and organizations from around the world met again in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, for the UN Conference on the Environment and Development. The delegates in Rio created Agenda 21, a global action plan for sustainable development, which addressed the environment and development problems of the day while preparing the world for future challenges. Chapter 17 of Agenda 21 focused on protection of the world's oceans, coasts, and the species that live within the waters. Chapter 17 said that, quote, despite national, sub-regional, regional, and global efforts, current approaches to the management of marine and coastal resources have not always proved capable of achieving sustainable development, and the coastal resources and the coastal environment are being rapidly degraded and eroded in many parts of the world, unquote. effective execution of Agenda 21 will require a profound reorientation of all human society, unlike anything the world has ever experienced. A major shift in the priorities of both governments and individuals, and an unprecedented redeployment of human and financial resources. This shift will demand that a concern for the environmental consequences of every human action will be integrated into individual and collective decision-making at every level. The admission is so staggering as to require recapitulation, quote, profound reorientation, unquote. All human society, every person on Earth, every human action, every level, demand, require. In short, this is an undisguised call for the total regimentation of all life on the planet. I want to thank White Paper Gary Arnold here for sending this email to mz@ksco.com. Let's see, another email here from Dave Allen here. It looks like it's loading here, so I'll wait a little while before
emails.
I do that here. Yeah, lots of emails coming in here, mz@ksco.com. We got a bunch of callers, too. I want to read something that Vince left, but I'm going to go to the call to the callers who have been waiting for some time here.
Sure.
So let's see. There's a next button, so let's hit the next button, okay? And I guess this would be Barry in Santa Cruz. Barry, you're on the air. Hello, Barry, are you there?
DirecTV.
Okay.
DirecTV.
Barry, are you there? I guess not. Okay, we'll take our next caller then. And that will be Ben in Salinas. So let's take Ben. And Ben, are you there?
Good morning. This
Hi.
Is the great Ben.
Hi.
First
Hi.
Of all, a comment on your commentary. When Bill Clinton, who I think is a punk that should have been dealt with, left us with an $800 billion surplus, and at the end of W's reign there, we had a $13.7 trillion deficit, not counting two wars being held off the books. Now, on this NOAA thing, you notice this is the Agenda 21 being in place. What are they saying about the Gulf of Mexico? Nothing. What are they saying about the plastic gyre in the middle of the Pacific Ocean? All the cruise ships and all the dumping raw sewage and plastic and all kinds of garbage turning our oceans into a sewer. They got nothing to say. What are they telling us about the Fukushima radiation that's still going on, not creating cracks in the earth? They got nothing to say about that. But yet, they want to spawn surfers. You know what, people? Whether we like it or not, we're in this boat together. We got to fight for our surfer brothers. They act like they're out there clubbing seals and looking for baby little muskrats to beat up and kill. These New World Order types of people have got to be identified, located, and visited, because they want to turn this into their dinner plate, regardless of what our human rights. This is not even just constitutional rights. NOAA won't even tell us what HAARP is doing. These storms, the horrific storms we're having in Joplin, Missouri, and in the Gulf, that's no accident. That's a result of what HAARP is doing. Tesla technology.
What's HAARP?
We need to inform ourselves and defend ourselves.
Ben, what's HAARP?
The vote is enough.
I don't think the callers can hear me with this new system. Can you hear me, Ben?
I can hear you very clearly.
Oh, okay, because I was talking and you weren't,
no,
and you kept talking, and you're still keeping talking. Never mind. Okay, Ben, you're a great caller.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, we appreciate your call.
You know, he brought up a good point. And, you know, one of the reasons why NOAA has gone after us is because they've known we're such a small group, and they've known that if they can get rid of us, we're going to be a notch under their belt, and the, you know, and they know that they could get rid of us with a very small fight, and
yeah.
And they've gone after other groups, but the other groups were bigger and more organized, and they were able to fend them off and keep from. I mean, they went as far as making a report on divers in the Monterey Bay, saying that divers displaced like four blades of seaweed, and then when they added up all the dives over the years with all the people diving, they came up with this huge number to make it look like divers were having this profound consequence on our kelp forests. And, you know, it was like they were trying to go after the diving community. And they pretty much stood up and brought in, you know, every time in the middle of winter when there's a storm, let's go out and count how much seaweed washes up on the shore and let's really talk about how much we're really displacing. But they were really going after the divers, and that's they're going after what they're doing is picking at individual groups and seeing who they can and who they can't get away with kicking out of this bay. And that's outrageous to me that they would go after anybody.
That's Scott Jarrett, IMMZ, and this is our next caller is Kurt in Scotts Valley. Kurt, you're on KSCO. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, MZ. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hear you fine.
Anyway, I heard the show with Brad Kava when they were talking about this and then the hotel, La Bahia. And the thing is with government and when I went for my renewal, my architectural license, we had to do these new ADA standards and meet with and listen to this program anyway. You just hear how the government thinks that they kind of work unto themselves and they have their own system and they really view private enterprise as just being in way. And so like with what NOAA's doing, it's what government agencies do with everything. And they have this distorted logic structure where they're just concerned about they're getting paid, they're doing their job, they're good bureaucrats, they don't want to frown on other bureaucrats and their pensions, and it's just this huge thing, and there's no common sense in it, but there is this, like, incestuous government thing where it just keeps creating itself, and I keep thinking, you know, it's almost like the government has to collapse, and they have to just go through entity by entity and say, you don't need this. I mean, like, California has its own ADA Title 24 handicap requirements, and the ridiculous thing is they say they view that over a third of the population has some level of a handicap that they have to address and help, and so they are on this mission. It's like a religious fervor, and so when I heard about what's going on with NOAA and stuff, it's just what government does. And I don't know how you stop it other than doing what you're doing here, showing people that it's completely out of control, and these government entities are not public servants. They're demigods that you have to serve and satisfy, and it's why the country's in so much trouble. So, I just think what you guys are doing is good, and you got to bring it to the light, and you just got to make a big deal of it, and then like you were saying, Barney Frank and those guys, even though they created a disaster in the financial institutions, maybe they can shut this down.
That would be great if they could.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah,
go ahead.
But anyway, I don't see anything stopping it. I mean, it's completely out of control. That's why California is in so much trouble. Yeah, I mean, I actually think this is why people listen to Alex Jones and stuff like this, because it's so out of control that people are like, okay, this makes no sense.
Yeah, Alex is getting more and more popular by the day, worldwide, everywhere. You know, much more so on the internet than with radio people. I've been talking to radio station people. These are big radio station, you know, owners and general managers and so forth. They don't even know who Alex Jones is. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. Hmm. While their whole system is going down the toilet, the broadcasters. And I'm dead serious. You heard my program. I mean, for people who listened to the Saturday special last week, my friend Mickey Luckoff, who ran KGO very, very successfully for many, many years, he didn't know who Alex Jones is, and I was telling him. I said, you know...
You know what, MZ?
Yeah.
Here's what I think. As the system continues to collapse, and it's collapsing more and more and more, those other stations are starting to sound more like KSEO. And I know you maybe don't believe it, but I was listening to one of the stations for about a half an hour last night, and... They're all like, what is going on? The system's collapsing. It's not until people, their comfort zone gets collapsed that they venture beyond that. And
yeah,
that's really
true.
What's happening to society. So it's been taking a long time, but it's finally getting to the point where there is so, just like with what's going on, you know, surfing and stuff like that and NOAA and just these crazy stuff.
Well, it's reassuring to hear you say that, Kurt. I mean, that's nice.
Yeah.
I'd like KSCO to continue to be unique, and it will be, but it's nice to know that people are waking up all over the world. But I haven't seen it in the radio. But see, I don't have a chance to listen to much of any radio, least of all, not even KSCO. I hate to say it. I'm always on the phone. I'm always doing things.
But it's changing. It's changing. I think, well, like I said, the station last night sounded more like Alex Jones, except they kept going to the Republican Democrat little fight, which is stupid. It's not that anymore. But that's what most people still think it is.
You know,
most people who listen to talk radio,
and that's what the hosts in talk radio think it is. It's so boring and tiresome. Yeah. You know. Anyway, thanks very much.
Great show.
Thank you for the kind words.
Thank you.
That's Kurt in Scottsdale. Let's press this next button and see if it works. Yeah, Barry in Santa Cruz. Are you back? I guess right.
Hi.
Oh, okay, Barry. A different Barry in Santa Cruz. You're on the air.
Barry.
Okay, you're on the air.
Hi, I used to live in Moss Landing, and I tried to walk my poodle on the beach, and I got stopped by an armed guard, and he said that Noah Roll said that my dog was a predator, and it was scaring the little birds on the beach there, and I could get a $200 fine if I walked my dog on the beach.
So you stopped walking your dog on the beach.
Moved out of town, yeah.
Presumably, yeah. Okay.
Well, they're trying to do that everywhere. Noah would love to have every beach shut down to dogs, actually.
Even off here in town, they put up no fishing signs sometimes because they say it because the fishing lines could tangle with pelican, which is a federal
or seagulls. You do see some peg-legged birds every once in a while, and I think that's very sad. But I don't think people should be prevented from fishing because an occasional bird gets injured.
Yeah,
you know. Anyhow, thanks very much for calling the Saturday Special, Barry. Here's Mark in Santa Cruz. You're on the air on KSCO. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, this is Phil. Can you hear me?
Oh, Phil. Okay, it says okay. Well, yeah, I guess. Okay. No, Phil. No, Mark. I'm sorry, Phil. Your name is Mark because the computer says so.
Okay.
I'm going to call you Mark from now on, even though you say your name is Phil. Go ahead, Mark.
What saved this is I heard the little psh before, so I knew it must be me.
Right.
Otherwise, you'd have hung up.
Okay.
I have a solution.
Good. Thank God.
In fact, we tragically missed the solution a few weeks ago. Because of some backdoor dealing and some treachery, if you will. Treachery perpetrated by the establishment Republicans and the Democrats. And that solution is not to raise the debt limit. Starve the beast. As long as we keep feeding it, it will devour us, devour our freedoms. We have to starve the beast, put these people out on the street so they are not sitting there in their offices with their bosses telling them, oh, write some more regulations, figure out something, and then I'll give you a promotion.
There you go.
Yeah, that's it. Starve the beast. Raise the debt ceiling, which tragically we had an opportunity not to do. And then you pay your debts, you pay your obligations, the interest on the loan, that comes first. Then you pay the obligations of people who have paid into systems, the Social Security and the Medicare, and then you look at what defense you actually need, and everything else is on the chopping block.
No, you're right. When they were talking about raising the debt ceiling, one of the first things I thought about is, great, this will starve out Noah. And as soon as they raise that debt limit, I know that meant more funding going to this out-of-control agency that's going unchecked. You know, it's just our tax dollar going to these people to write regulations against us to, and abuse us.
Absolutely. As long as you feed the beast, it will just grow more powerful and more hungry and take more of your freedom until you have nothing left. And
I think that you've come up with a great idea. I'm going to say Phil, because I know it's operator error. You are definitely Phil. You're not Mark. I just don't know how to use this new system. Mark is the next caller. But anyhow, Phil, thanks for calling in with your suggestion. I think that's a good one. But the debt ceiling's been raised, you know, until at least for how long? How long is it?
Oh, it'll only be like 2 years with the way they were spending money.
So you got to worry about NOAA for at least 2 years for sure. Anyhow, 713-4277 is the phone number to call in area 831. MZ@KSCO.com is the email to use. And yes, Scott, what?
I was just going to comment. There's a caller earlier, John, I believe it was, who was talking about, you know, how he believed that NOAA had sent out this letter after the death of Siam Malowski at Mavericks.
Yeah.
And really, it had to have been a lawyer that wrote the response, because what I went to the meeting up in it was in Pacifica this couple Thursdays ago, and they, you know, the media was hyping that NOAA might lift this PWC ban, you know, to help do surf rescue and keep people alive. But what they did is they actually held this meeting and had a sheriff come in, and they talked about it. But why they talked about it was to put up some smoke and mirrors to make people believe that they're really trying to do something to help create a safer environment for the surfers. But what they really did is nothing. They actually offered up nothing. The solution that they're offering is really not a solution. It's actually a death sentence. And it just goes to show how this agency has no idea what they're doing, and they need to just drop this and walk away and let somebody else that has a more of an idea of what's going on take control and help make some rules and regulations that are suitable for the surf community and the water rescue.
That's Scott Jarrett. You want to talk to Scott, call 713-4277 here in area 831. Mark in Santa Cruz, you're on the air on KSCO. Hello, Mark in Santa Cruz. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I have to hit the next. Okay, I think you're on now, Mark.
No, this is Phil.
That's Phil. No, he's playing with me. He's playing with me.
I just want to say, until you realize that you're dealing with a monster.
Yeah, we know that.
Until you decapitate that monster, we're not going to get anywhere. Until tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people stand up in this country and say no more to tyranny. Because that's what you're facing, a tyrannical government. This little type of stuff has been going on in Santa Cruz County for years. Crooked judges, crooked cops, rotten lawyers, rotten city council, crooked and corrupt commissioners. I mean, you name it. It's a battle between good and evil, you can almost say. And within a couple of years, you'll probably need a permit to go in the water.
Oh, no, you'll be able to go to their visitor center and see what the Monterey Bay looks like from their visitor center is really what they'd like to do. They're building one now by the boardwalk because they want to have people come by. And this is what the Monterey Bay looks like, people. Don't go in it, but here it is. Look at it from this building.
It's a little brainwashing and minutia being...
Now, you guys are being pretty...
into our minds.
You're exaggerating to make a point here. You don't really believe that.
Well, they'd never be able to do that, but that's where they're headed. I mean, if you look at what they're doing...
If they could do that, you think they would? You think the mindset of the little...
Oh, yeah, no. There's actually... Someone told me that they were at one of these... they're called Sanctuary...
cities.
Advisory Councils.
Oh, my God.
And actually, you know what? I wanted to actually thank... they're called the SAC members. They were at this last meeting I was at, and we actually went up and did our public speaking and brought up our points and talked about how this abuse of government is is taking our lives. And there was actually members, I don't know who they were, but they stood up and said, yeah, we have some concern about this law that's killing people, and I think it needs to be addressed. And Paul Michelle, who is one of the NOAA guys, he's one of the ringleaders there that was at the meeting, he was very arrogant. And and I could tell that, everybody there that voiced concern, he was just sitting there with a smug look on his face. And by the end of the meeting, at that time at the meeting, he was saying, okay, well, I think we should put this on the next agenda. After he had already said, well, maybe we should kick this can down the road some more and pass it on to the fair lawns. And everybody said, no, we need to address this now. He said, okay, well, we'll talk about it at our next meeting. And what I actually heard is that by the next meeting, or at the end of this meeting, which was just Thursday, he acted like our little testimony that we gave and all the people, the SAC members putting in their voice, he acted like that never happened. He left it off the agenda, and someone had to bring it up to him and say, did you not hear that we were voicing some concern about the surfer safety? And he said, well, yeah. And he goes, well, you didn't even put it on the agenda like you said you were for the next meeting. And he goes, oh, well, I guess I'll do it. I mean, these people really, they just, they like you to think that they're out there trying to do good, but they really, it's always been their agenda to get rid of us, and they're not going to do anything to help our safety.
Okay. Let's go to our next caller. I think that is, Jenny in Pleasure Point. Jenny, is that you?
Yes, I am. I'm okay. Right here.
Okay. Yeah, you're on the air, and you got a whole lot of background information that we can't hear. Can you get rid of that?
Let me see. Maybe I'm too close to the radio. Could you hear that down, Paul? Yes. My grandson is fifth generation. I am third generation Santa Cruzan. And this is my question. I have a question and also some comments.
Okay.
I'm really sorry about the terrible tragedy that happened up north. That was an awful, but I'm not for big government, but I am for the Marine Sanctuary Act, you know, I really am, because the ocean's very important to me and my family. And I'd like to know how much emissions a jet ski deposits. You said you use two-stroke oil?
No, that's the old jet skis. Those are...
Okay.
No, all the jet skis, okay. Like my jet ski that we use, they're ultra-low emissions. These things are the cleanest vehicles out in the water other than a sailboat. It would take probably 100 fishing boats to... or 100 jet skis that add about the same emissions as a fishing boat. Okay. So.
Yeah, Jenny, really there's so much interference, we're going to have to cut this short. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know what it is with her telephone or some interference or something, but it's just not working. So here's Sean in Orange County. Hopefully this will be a better connection. Sean, you're on the air.
Hi, everyone. I was born and raised in Carmel and Pacific Grove, so I'm pretty familiar with the Monterey Bay area. And I'm fortunate to have grown up to become a leader in life-saving water rescue techniques using personal watercraft. My courses used to be hosted by Pillar Point Harbor, and they were offered to lifeguards, firemen, paramedics, law enforcement, military, anybody that used personal watercraft for the purpose of rescues and patrols. The sanctuary, when they did their management review, they put a line in there. You can see it on their sanctuary website, that they won't allow private individuals or companies to train in sanctuary waters. However, they'll allow scientific studies to go on for national communities. So now I've moved down to Morro Bay, and we're teaching the classes here, and I'm not allowed to teach the agencies in the Monterey Bay area. They have to travel out of area to come here. Noah stated that I could work under a permit through the agency, but that's not true. They just make up these sayings as they go along to just sort of deflect the true core issue of a segregated, abusive, and entitlement position. And
they're telling you what you can teach and what you can't teach. It's amazing.
And Sean actually is a big-time swiftwater rescue person. She teaches Navy SEALs. She teaches fire police. She teaches the people to the swiftwater rescue. So she is one of the main people that knows.
Modest lady. Happy you were here to know that. Thank you for – are you finished, Sean? We need to take a commercial break here that we're actually late for.
Thank you, Sean.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special, where the time is 11 minutes before 12 noon. And if you want to give us a call, the phone number is area 831-713-4277. We will be right back after this commercial break. Stay with us, please.
With support and encouragement from Bishop Richard Garcia, the traditional Latin High Mass is offered every Sunday at 8:45 a.m. at the Shrine of St. Joseph, 544 Westcliff Drive, Santa Cruz. Sacred and mystical worship in the ancient tradition of the church is presented with Gregorian chant and sacred polyphony. All are welcome. For more information, go to www.missionlatinmass.com.
It happens soon after Labor Day, the Santa Cruz County Fair. And this year, there are some very entertaining reasons to buy discount admission tickets.
So happy together.
The Turtles. Peter Rivera, formerly of Rare Earth,
Love Don't Run,
and Steve Holy. Discount tickets are available online at SantaCruzCountyFair.com and the Fairground office on Highway 152 between Hecker Pass and the Bay.
Santa Cruz County Fair.
Thank you for calling Palace in Capitola. This is Shannon.
Hi, Palace. Do you carry school supplies?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yes. In fact, Palace carries a huge selection of school supplies.
We got a big long list from school.
Your child's teacher gave you a list? No problem. We are happy to help you find just what you need. And I think you'll like our prices, too. You know, we also have a great selection of kids' art supplies and kits that make great gifts for birthdays. And if you're an artist, well, Palace does have it all.
I don't know where we are. We just moved to town.
Oh, you just moved here? No problem. Palace stores are easy to find. In Capitola, we are on 41st Avenue next to Orchard Supply. And in Santa Cruz, Palace is next to Cinema 9 on Pacific Avenue. And we're open till 8 on weeknights. Thanks for calling. I look forward to meeting you.
Palace Art and Office Supply is a proud member of Think Local First, County of Santa Cruz.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Moving, moving, moving. Keep them doggies moving.
That sure brings back memories of those classic old westerns. You know the ones where the evil cattle baron tries to control everything from the land to the town, even the law, running roughshod over any and everyone who tried to stand in their way. That's all in the distant past, you think, but you're wrong. It's still happening today in our own community. That's right. In Watsonville, there's a group of greedy landowners trying to rustle away our county fairgrounds. Don't let these land rustlers turn back the hands of time to the days of the Golden Rule, when those with all the gold made all the rules, and steal away one of our county's most prized assets. Do your part and go to KSCO.com and look for the Save the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds banner and volunteer today.
Move them on, hit them up, bro.
Estate can be really confusing these days, but we make it easy to understand on Open House Radio. Hello, I'm Renee Mello, host of Open House. Each Saturday at 2 p.m., we reach into all the neighborhoods of the local real estate market and talk our way through appraisals, financing, inspections, offers, closings with all kinds of real estate experts. Join me, Renee Mello, for Open House Radio Saturday, 2 p.m. on KSCO.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations.
Okay, welcome back to the closing minutes of the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ and Scott Jarrett here. A lively program today. It's definitely livened up. Got a couple of callers waiting. Let's see. Wes Williams says hi in an email. Says, hi, MZ. I personally have 7 years of towing experience in the Monterey Bay prior to ban. Few quick additions on my part, and please add my name to any lists necessary to join the battle against NOAA. One, tow surfing is the most filmed of all surfing. When the waves get big, the cameras come out. One would sit for weeks, if not months, watching the countless hours of tow footage that's out there. Show me one instance of a jet ski animal situation. There's no such video. Two, in the summer months, like right now, I would use tow surfing as core strength conditioning. So when the big winter swells hit and I'm out paddling amongst powerful swells, I'm in great shape. That has been taken away from me. Number three, I don't enjoy paying annual taxes on my vessel when I can't use it. Thanks, Wes Williams. And let's see, where is Wes from here? It says Wes from he's a Monterey Bay surfer. Okay. Yes, sir. Scott.
Oh, no. Just thanks, Wes. Yeah, there's thousands of hours of documented footing, whether it's movies or YouTube video clips. And if anybody can actually find an animal being disturbed by any of us, I would love to see that, because they keep saying we disturb wildlife, and that's the furthest from the truth. I mean, they act like we're people who have no interest in environmental issues. We're surfers. I've surfed for over 30 years. I love the ocean. I love all the creatures. I don't know a single surfer or a single person that uses a PWC for surfing that would ever the life of an animal. I mean, we actually stop, and if there was an animal, we'd stop and let them cruise by or do their thing, and then we'd proceed. I mean, that's how thoughtful we are about this.
Here, Wes Williams sent another email saying, MZN guest, what happens if someone receives a $100,000 fine and doesn't pay it? Jail time for riding a ski? I don't believe bankruptcy can be filed for fines.
No, actually, the NOAA law states that there would be no jail time. They would just seize all of your assets. So if you owned a home, if you owned property, if you owned equipment, if you owned something, they'll just seize it. But, you know, honestly, I mean, that's where I'm at in this fight. It's like, you know, if saving your own life is illegal, well, I guess I'm guilty. I don't intend on not doing this. I don't intend on stop surfing big waves. This is something that I've done for a long time.
Well, be careful there, Scott.
Well, I'm not saying anything other than the fact that, you know, if they gave me a $100,000 fine, boy, I guarantee you I'd be on national news, and this agency would be exposed for what they really are.
Well, maybe you should get a $100,000 fine, and you probably wouldn't have to pay it.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
The public opinion would be on your side.
Exactly.
Maybe that's all that's needed.
And that's why I'm here. I'm actually here to bring this out into the public and to get people hearing what this agency does and their practices. And it's not about me. It's about the fishermen. It's about us. It's about everybody who enjoys the ocean. Anybody, I mean, it, like the guy with the dog, even if you're out walking your dog and NOAA officers see that dog flush birds or send a seal back into the water, you're looking at a fine.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Rex Manson says, hi, MZ, good show today. But if you really want to hear animated, pissed off residents, start looking into the California Santa Cruz State Parks beach Nazis and dogs. Good luck.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Rex also says, please clarify, one of your guests accuse Save Our Shores of being corrupt, and surf riders got mentioned. Can you get a clarification?
No, I just know. In fact, at the meeting in Pacifica, there was a gentleman there who actually was one of the original members that helped charter Surf Rider. And he ended up getting pushed out because environmentalists. What happened was the Surf Rider originally started as, you know, something good and something for the people. And then as it got more popular and grew, radical environmentalists took it over and turned it into something that it was never supposed to be. And that's all we were saying.
Alan Mulho emails, MZ, the first thing that happened with the approval of the sanctuary was that Sam Farr and others tried to push through a way to charge us for using the ocean. I think they are still challenging the first rule of the ocean, freedom of the seas. They want to determine what kind of boats can go out. That's from Alan in Watsonville. Thank you, Alan. Just got a couple of minutes left here. Let me switch over to, I think our next caller will be Tina in Rhode Island. Tina, you're on the air on KSCO.
Good afternoon. Well, it's good morning over there, I believe.
Yeah, it'll be afternoon in 2.5 minutes.
Yeah,
but
good morning. Afternoon.
Sorry, don't have a whole lot of time for you, so make it quick, please.
I will make it quick. First of all, if they were accusing you of interrupting animals or possibly harming animals, let me tell you, do you know how many NOAA boats kill whales every year? They get specific permits to do just that. They never get caught. They never talk about it. And when they do, it's two little blurbs in a piece of paper. This agency is so rogue and so corrupt. I'm president of the American Alliance of Fishermen here on the East Coast, and I have to tell you, You wouldn't even believe. I don't know if anybody's talked about the $96 million that law enforcement stole from the East Coast fishermen.
Yeah, we haven't got it. I mean, 2 hours wasn't enough to touch all the intricacies.
Some sort of follow-up. Stay tuned to your favorite radio station. I'm sure you'll be hearing more. Hey, thank you so much, Tina, for calling. Wish we could have you on for longer.
Don't stop surfing where you're surfing.
Don't think Scott's going to do that. I don't think anybody else is going to either. Thank you very much for your call. That's it for the radio show today. This can be will be broadcast this evening at between 10 p.m. and midnight.
Oh, wow.
Headed out to the California Grill, sponsor of this program. I want to thank the California Grill in Watsonville at Airport and Freedom Boulevards. Going to lunch there right now, so come on down. We're not going to buy your lunch, but come on down and join us. KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. That's it.
That's all, folks.
Searching for the injured in Wisconsin after a violent storm.
An apparent tornado rocked Marinette County, Wisconsin.
We have confirmation of one fatality, a middle-aged male who was killed during the storm. There may be other injuries.
Wisconsin Division of Emergency Management spokeswoman Lori Getter, not clear how many other people were injured. The area where the storm touched down is not easy to get to.
Heavily wooded, lots of trees, lots of power lines.
The storm also packed nearly 2-inch hail. Salchi and Grasso, Fox News Radio.
4 people are confirmed dead after flash flooding in Pittsburgh last night. That's 2 women and 2 children. Heavy rainfall created water strong enough to float a dump truck. People had to be rescued from their cars. 2 American men who say they were hiking in Iraq when they accidentally crossed into Iran have now been sentenced in an Iranian court. Shane Bauer and Josh Vital have been sentenced to 8 years in an Iranian prison. Iran claims they were spying for the U.S. Fox's Julie Banderas spoke with a source who was involved in negotiating the men's release.
In the world of Byzantine world of Iranian politics, the fact that they have been sentenced means that Iran can now move on to policy actions, he said, as opposed to judicial ones. And in theory, it could open the door for the release as well.
A third hiker, Sarah Shord, was released on $500,000 bail. She is back in the U.S. No contract yet for striking Verizon workers who have been on strike since August 7th. But those 45,000 workers who largely handle the landline business will go back on Tuesday anyway. The unions say disagreements have narrowed and a structure has been agreed upon for continued negotiations. Among the issues, pensions and health care, the company would like those workers to contribute more to those saying the landline division is dwindling. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Before most teenagers around the world had a driver's license, he was leading his country. While a lot of kids were sipping sodas, he was providing his people healthy drinking water. While some kids slept until noon, he got up at 4 every morning to pray for peace. And though the Dalai Lama is no longer a child, his works continue to inspire childlike hope. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
You've been asking for it and waiting for it. The Fox News iPad app is free, and it's available now at the App Store. Browse the Happening Now section to see the day's hottest stories. And access the live Fox News channel ticket when you're away from your TV. Plus, get Fox News alerts, stream live video, and watch the latest clips free. Check it out at foxnews2go.mobi. That's Fox News, the number 2, go.mobi. Fox News everywhere at foxnews2go.mobi.
A man suspected of killing his wife and her 3 kids is now in custody.
John Reagan called detectives in Newport Beach, Virginia, to say he was in Manning, South Carolina. He's in custody now. The bodies of his wife, Crystal, and her 3 kids found knife wounds after an apartment fire Friday. A couple of neighbors.
People were just standing around, and, you know, that's when we noticed that it was something wrong, and the fire department was here.
Anytime children or anyone dies, it's sad, so... especially children.
The Reagan's 5-year-old son together was missing at first, then discovered all right with other relatives in South Carolina. Chris Foster, Fox News Radio.
Tropical Storm Harvey has made landfall in Belize. It is expected the storm will move into Guatemala later today. The National Hurricane Center says Harvey has maximum sustained winds of around 60 miles an hour. Now that Harvey is over land, it is expected the storm will begin to weaken. A glass of wine, maybe a good thing.
A new study suggests you might not have to feel so guilty at your next happy hour.
Research from the University of Chicago shows that drinking wine or beer every day can reduce the risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. After analyzing the data of 140 studies from a span of 30 years, scientists found that moderate drinkers were 23% less likely to develop dementia. But don't go overboard. Moderate drinking is two drinks per day for men and just one for women. House Call for Health, I'm Colleen Capon, Fox News Radio.
The baby boom generation may be closer to the nursing home than the club scene, but that doesn't mean they're not trying. The market research firm Global Industry Analyst is predicting a baby boom fuel desire for anti-aging products will escalate that market from $80 billion now to $114 billion by 2015. The National Institute on Aging has some advice for looking and feeling good. Eat well, exercise, and don't smoke. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Mostly cloudy. High is 67 today. West-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy. Low of 53. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And tomorrow morning, clouds and fog, then mostly sunny. High is 70. West-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, there's some light winds. They're going to become southwest 5 knots this afternoon. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet.